8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us on this Friday, the doorstep of the weekend. First weekend of the NFL. Your prediction on the Broncos record. Got some overall NFL predictions. Division winners, wild cards. Who wins the Super Bowl? Text or call us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Also, fifth ranked Texas A&M. They head to Empower Field tomorrow to take on the University of Colorado Buffaloes. Buffs are a 16.5 point dog in that game. Can they cover that against the Aggies? Love your thoughts on that today. Text or call us 970-242-1340. All right, we have plenty to get to. Coming up, we'll play Where in the World is Tyler Franson, even though he's not here today. Buckeye Boy will be filling in. Well, you'll have to guess where he is. And literally, he's not here today, so you're going to have to guess the area where he actually is. This will be a stadium from kind of where he's...
In relation to where he really is.
Where he's on vacation right now.
And I worked in another fun little Tyler Franson dig in the clues, too.
Okay, great. Well, that's great. That's perfect. That's what you should be doing. Awesome. I like that. Well done, Buckeye Boy. See, I might give you crap and you're not here. Talking about how, well, the great job that he does, that Tyler does on the return cuts, and kind of like how he shakes it up a little bit from what you play, which I do enjoy what you play. Yeah. But it is good to have you here, buddy. It is.
Yep.
I'm just not used to seeing you on a Friday. So it's
super fun to be here on my day off. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, come
really
on.
Really enjoying this
5 days a
early
week with
morning.
Me? Come on. You've got to be, okay, hating that probably, I'm sure. All right.
Yeah.
Beer.
All right, chance to win beer today, too.
Yes.
Fat Tire or Qdoba today will play Where in the World is Tyler Franson coming up. Yeah, all right. So that'll be coming up in a few minutes. But it's time right now for a regular season edition of Know Your Enemy.
And what do you want?
To know my enemy.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
An Arabic proverb attributed to a prince who was betrayed and decapitated by his own subjects.
Still, it's a hell of a quote.
All right, the New York Daily News is Pat Leonard joined us when we were doing our preseason Know Your Enemy. And he was gracious enough to say, hey, you guys want me back on for the regular season opener with the Giants and Broncos? I'll do it. Pat, thank you for doing this. Thanks for coming on again.
Jim, you got it. Yeah, hey, both true to our word. Here we are, week one, Broncos, Giants. I can't believe we're days away, too. That felt like a long time ago with the season off in the distance, but here we are.
But here we are. We're right there on the precipice of the start of the season for the Giants and the Broncos. And so, let's be honest about this. You tweeted this out, that really the Giants are going to go as far as their offensive line takes them. And can Andrew Thomas and Matt Parrott, can they step up and get the job done? Because that offensive line, I mean, that's the question mark about this Giants team, is it not?
No, it definitely is, you know, along with the health of some of their skill position players. But their story of this game and of their season, no doubt, will be the O-line. Denver is not a good team for a team with a struggling O-line to face in week one, as you guys know, with Von Miller coming back. Bradley Chubb, you know, we'll see what's going on with him, but I know he was upgraded to limited yesterday, so if he's on the field with the ankle with Miller on the other side, the Giants are really going to struggle, and they're probably going to have to play even more conservatively on offense than they would prefer just to protect Daniel Jones, whether it's keeping Kyle Rudolph in to block at tight end more. It's going to be Nate Solder starting at right tackle and Andrew Thomas on the left, and then, as you said, Matt Parrott, the young tackle, they had him at right tackle all camp. And then he loses the job to Solder. So they're going to have the veteran out there against Von Miller to start. But you might see Parrott work in. And frankly, they have a lot of young linemen like that. And they just have to step up, not only to win this game, but for the Giants to have a competitive season.
Pat Leonard covers the New York Giants for the New York Daily News, joining us today on Know Your Enemy on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So when you look at Saquon Barkley, what is the latest on Barkley, and how much, if he plays, how much is he going to play against the Broncos on Sunday?
The latest is that he talks to us in a few hours after practice, like mid-afternoon. I don't know if that's a good sign. You would think it is, but there have been mixed signals on both ends. Frankly, you know, Joe Judge the other day was talking about doing the best thing for the long term, which is something he keeps saying. Jabril Peppers said that he wasn't hitting him too hard in practice because Saquon wasn't 100%. That was out of his mouth. And even though I saw Barkley yesterday kind of jump and put the ball through his legs, a la Michael Jordan, and land, and he looks fine and he's in good spirits, he's been limited in these practices too. So, you know, will he sit out the game or will he play in a limited fashion? We're still waiting to see. I'm skeptical that he's going to play, but if he does play and if he's on the sideline, you can probably expect 10 touches or so. You know, maybe that's 20 snaps, 10 touches. I don't think you're going to see a major workload. But as you know, Jim, you know, a guy coming off injury, if he takes a couple hits and he looks good, feels good, the doctors love how he looks, maybe they get him more into the game plan than they initially intended. But my answer to you is he either doesn't play or he plays in a limited fashion.
Which means former Bronco Devontae Booker is going to get the bulk of the work coming up on Sunday.
That's right. That's right. That's what I would expect. It would be Booker, and then they have a rookie named Gary Brightwell who is showed some good receiving skills in the preseason finale. But as you said, you know, Booker's a guy they called the first minute of free agency, and they wanted him right away. And the reason was because they anticipated possibly acclimating Saquon slowly, and they felt like Booker could do a little bit of everything. And even when Saquon comes back, I still think you're going to see Booker play a fair amount, particularly on downs where they need pass protection from their running back, because frankly, Saquon Barkley has struggled so badly with that, the Giants should just stop making him do it. So, you know, Booker is a guy who I think you're going to see a lot of against his former team, and he can do a little bit of everything, run, catch, and pass protect.
Pat Leonard covers the Giants for the New York Daily News, joining us today. I know you're going to be on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. You mentioned Kyle Rudolph, who comes over from the Vikings. I would think Kyle Rudolph would be a welcome addition to Daniel Jones in regard to a reliable pass catcher. Got a pretty good blocker as well. Broncos have historically struggled against tight ends throughout the course of the last several years, and they feel like they maybe addressed that a little bit with Pat Surtain Jr., with Justin Sternat at that inside linebacker spot, a more athletic linebacker capable of covering tight ends. But Rudolph could play a very key role in this, not just this game, but going forward for Daniel Jones in this offense.
He could, yeah. No, that's a good point. It's actually, the Broncos may dodge a bullet in the sense there that Evan Engram doesn't look like he's going to play because he is the number one pass receiving threat at tight end for the Giants and actually had a superb camp, was healthy all last season after battling injuries earlier in his career. So the fact that he has this calf injury that looks like it's going to hold him out of this game, I think is a big deal, especially, like you said, with the Broncos in the past at least struggling against that position. Rudolph can help the Giants there. I think more in this game he's going to be a blocker. He's coming off foot surgery, and even though he will run pass routes, I don't think you're going to see any kind of explosiveness out of him to beat someone down the field. Where you need to worry about him is if the Giants get in the red zone,
right?
Obviously his size. So that is certainly, for the Giants' entire season, and maybe even in this game, that's where you need to worry about Kyle Rudolph as a threat, as a receiver, because he doesn't need to get open to catch those TDs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're Pat Leonard joining us this morning, covers the Giants for the New York Daily News. It's our preview of the Broncos and Giants this Sunday, a game you can hear right here on the Team Countdown to kickoff at noon. 2:25 kickoff from the Meadowlands, the Broncos and the New York Giants, which we do need to address this. It would be a very emotional weekend, Pat, particularly for the folks in your part of the country with the anniversary tomorrow of 9/11. And the Broncos players have talked about what it's going to be like to be at MetLife and the emotion of Giants fans on this weekend. Remember one of the greatest tragedies in our country's history.
Yes, very emotional time in this area and in the country, of course. Jason Garrett told a very poignant story, the Giants offensive coordinator, at yesterday's practice. He said that because at the time he was a Giants player, he was a backup quarterback, and he was living in New York City at the time, and he recalled the strength of the response from everyone in the aid effort. He said that he wanted to donate blood as a New York City resident, and he remembers that they told him, we don't need any more blood because so many people have donated already. And so those are the types of stories that you hear, and you kind of get chills up your spine because it's so tragic and also, you know, so telling of, you know, the spirit of, you know, the human spirit and then the spirit of this area. And it's certainly, everybody has a story, and the Giants, I think, are, or I can tell you they are, you know, very aware of what this weekend and what this game and what this moment means, you know, for this city and this country as well.
So tell me, Pat, what's your 9/11 story? What's your remembrance of that day?
Well, my story is not, it's nothing like anybody else's really. You know, I was actually living, I'm from Philadelphia, so I was in high school at the time, and I remember listening during a free period on the radio and hearing that a tower had been hit by a plane and not even really fully processing what that even meant. I think like everybody else, it was kind of like you're kind of frozen in time, like, is this real? And then I'll just never forget sitting in a history teacher's classroom, and we just had the news on, and the image I always have in my head is seeing the second plane hit on live television coming at me, right? So the picture was seeing the plane flying directly at the buildings at my face, and we got dismissed early from school. And, you know, one thing that's just crazy to me too is moving up to New Jersey, New York as a professional, and then encountering, you know, people and becoming friends or family with people who, you know, were down there in downtown rescuing people or rushing them out of their apartment buildings and covered in ash as they came back to New Jersey and saved people from and brought them back to their loved ones. And, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen this. There's a documentary on, I believe if Nat Geo produced it, and I think it's on Hulu, but it's called like 9/11 One Day in America. And I just finished watching it, and I would recommend that anybody in our country or in the world watch it, because it is, you know, there are some incredibly heartwarming stories about rescues and people's connections. And then it's also just something that you still can't believe even when you see it again and again on replay.
I will definitely take up your recommendation on that and watch that. Pat Leonard, who covers the Giants for the New York Daily News, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Getting back to the game, this is Pat Shurmur's return as the Broncos offensive coordinator to the place where he was the head coach. And he was the guy that gave Daniel Jones that opportunity to be the starting quarterback, the very controversial handling of Eli Manning and the benching of Manning and Daniel Jones becoming the Giants starting quarterback.
Right, and you know what? That for all of there were some legitimate reasons, of course, that Pat Shurmur got fired. But I think he deserves credit. And if you know, if you're writing the Giants yearbook every year in their media guide, I think you need to point out that you know it wasn't easy for the Giants organization to move on from Eli. Ben McAdoo got fired when John Mara agreed to try to do it the first time and was scapegoated, and then Pat Shurmur put his neck on the line to do it again, because it was what they needed to do for their organization. And it was one of the things that ended up costing him his job, the fact that once he went to Daniel Jones, they didn't win enough games there. But certainly, Pat, as an offensive mind and as a quarterback developer, you know, listen, I would say this frankly. Some guys become really good head coaches. Some guys are great coordinators who aren't as attached to what their greatest strength is when they become head coaches. And I think Pat is a superb offensive coordinator and could do it, you know, for another, whatever, 50 years. I mean, that is what he's great at, calling plays, calling a game, putting a defense off balance. And I was actually asking Daniel Jones the other day about Shurmur coming back and what he remembers about what was positive about the experience. And he just said that Shurmur was so relatable on how he could simplify the play calls and the system, so as a rookie quarterback, he could know what he was seeing and let the ball rip. And I certainly think in New York, with Jason Garrett's offense being a little bit more of a complicated or individual read of receiver routes, you know, for all of the fumbles and turnovers and Shurmur getting fired back then, there's something to be said for the fact that I think Daniel Jones was able to produce a lot easier in Shurmur's offensive system than he has been so far in Jason Garrett. So I think that's a credit to Shurmur. And last thing I would add is Pat Graham, the Giants defensive coordinator. I mean, he was sweating bullets yesterday talking about the things that the Giants defense had to account for stopping Shermer's offense, and that was pretty funny to see. He said, yeah, I haven't even had time to shave because I've been so inundated by all this research.
Yeah, burning the midnight oil, going over the tape, figured out how to slow down the Broncos' offense, which, you know, you would think that with Pat Shermer and making the move to Daniel Jones when he was the head coach, that maybe that we would have seen Drew Lock be the starting quarterback. Both Lock and Teddy Bridgewater played fairly neck and neck in the preseason, though it looked like Bridgewater at the end with the Seattle game pulled away enough to be named the starter. Were you surprised that the Broncos went with Bridgewater as their starting quarterback?
No, but, you know, I think that is, Jim, is I think when the Giants went to Daniel Jones, it was like, okay, we're not ready to win right now as a team. Let's get this young quarterback in and look to the future. The Denver Broncos roster, it looks like it's ready to compete as long as the quarterback doesn't screw it up. So I think that, you know, Pat Shermer is certainly the guy, as he's proven, that will go to the young kid who can work and develop. And I know that Broncos still like a lot about Drew. And, you know, Pat's a little more old school, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean, like, you know, he's the kind of coach who thinks, let's not rush this guy. Like, he might be the quarterback we need him to be in year four, but he's not that quarterback yet. Or year five, but he's not that quarterback yet. The Broncos simply are a team that looks like they could compete for a playoff spot. So I think that's what the Bridgewater decision is more about. It's about the quarterback position not screwing it up. And even though Teddy can turn the ball over too, you know, I think his calming presence that everybody talks about and the fact that he knows how to manage the game is more related to it rather than we don't think Drew's any good.
And it's two teams that, like you referenced, the Broncos have the talent right now, particularly the money they expended on the secondary with Darby and bringing in Kyle Fuller, drafting Patrick Surtain Jr., that this is a team that certainly has the defense and hopefully an offense that can get it back to the playoffs. Or the Giants, you wrote about this in the New York Daily News, co-owner John Marb, doesn't make this year making the playoffs this year for Joe Judge is not a mandate. For Vic Fangio, it is. I mean, or at least having a winning record, a 9 or a 10 win season is really kind of a mandate for him, probably being a playoff team or at least being in the conversation where Joe Judge is going to have the latitude of another year of not having to worry about necessarily being a playoff team or a playoff contender in 2021.
Right, for sure. And in Giants world, it's a little tricky balance because on the one hand, Judge, you know, John Mara has fully bought into this. Like he said when they hired Judge that he was ready to accept, like, we're not doing things the right way and we need to do it differently and we need to build this sustainably for the long term, which means possibly eating up some more losses before you get there. On the other hand, the Giants spent more than $125 million in guarantees this offseason to retool their roster because Mara also is tired of losing.
Sure.
So that's why Gettleman is kind of on the hot seat, even though Judge doesn't seem like he is, because this is now year four of a system and a process that just has been spinning its wheels and arguably has gone backwards in some places. So there's pressure in some areas of the building. Maybe there's less pressure in other areas of the building. But certainly it's nothing like Denver. And you hit right on the head, too. Because the roster is what it is, especially after the investments in the offseason, Vic Fangio certainly has a lot of pressure and heat on him. And, you know, everybody knows they're in a tough division. And that not winning the division doesn't mean you had a bad year, given who else is in it. But that doesn't mean you can't make the playoffs. It doesn't mean you can't take care of the rest of the schedule. And, you know, I would say on Fangio, I don't have anything specific to cite, but over these years of him as a head coach, I always feel like when I do watch one of his games closely, his game management struggles. You know, whether it's the clock, whether it's what they're doing at the half, whether it's a challenge decision. And, you know, we all know he's a really good defensive coordinator, but I wonder if he can get better at that area because you're going to be in a lot of close games. And, you know, not only does the quarterback not need to turn the ball over, but, you know, you need the coach not to, you know, like Mike McCarthy trying a 60-yard field goal last night or, you know, just end-of-half decisions where points are premium. It just can't cost you and lead to the reason why you're not in the playoffs again.
And you're right, Pat. That's been a narrative about Vic Fangio, about the mistakes and the lack of a willingness on Vic's part to acknowledge that there's a problem with some of those decisions. That's also not set well with Broncos fans and reporters. Like, stuff happens, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, no, you blew it there. And they lost some close games last year. The Tennessee game was one of those games where, you know, certainly, you know, that played a role in Denver losing to the Titans.
Wow.
Hey, Pat, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Of course, you can read his work. New York Daily News does a fantastic job covering the Giants. Pat Leonard. Pat, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jim. Take care.
You too. Take care. Pat Leonard joining us today. And he volunteered to come on the program, which we appreciate. He was willing to come on initially when I reached out to him, because I've never talked to Pat Leonard before in my life.
Yeah.
And he said when we did it the last time, hey, if you want me to come on before the opener, I'll do it.
Seems like a good dude.
Seems like a super good guy. Pat
follows
Leonard.
Us on the Twitter.
Appreciate that, Pat.
You can too. The Team 1340 on the Twitter. He's okay. P Leonard NYDN.
Yeah.
If you want to give him a follow, good stuff. Giants wise.
All right. Text or call us 970-242-1340. How many wins do you think the Broncos get this season? Do the Buffs cover against A&M? They're a 16.5-point dog in that game. Text or call us today, 970-242-1340. Are you ready to do it?
Yeah, let's do
it.
Do you
have the open over there?
I don't. I did not know
there was a special open for it. Do you want to wait a little bit to find that open? We can do it at 8:40.
While you're doing that,
I've got something else I could be doing here. Let me know if you find it, and we'll do it right now. All right, first weekend of the NFL. It's this weekend. Started last night with Tampa Bay and the Cowboys last night. And so, if you're thinking about, okay, I want to go someplace where they have great food, plenty of TVs, maybe they have, I don't know, Sunday Ticket, for example, and just the perfect environment with great beverages. 357 Reloaded. Check them out. Or 357 Bar and Grill, 357 Bar and Grill in Palisade, 357 Reloaded in the Peachtree Shopping Center, where they have tons of great wing options from the very, very hot, the hot habanero, to the milder wussy stuff for guys like me with the teriyaki and the barbecue and the honey mustard. That's more my speed. They have some amazing burgers, the classic, the bacon cheeseburger, the mushroom Swiss, the pig. It might be the ultimate burger. Because it's a big patty, pulled pork, bacon, cheese, and ham. Think about that.
That's not bad.
That is not bad at all. So they have amazing sandwiches. They have the patty melt as well. There are sandwiches like the club and the Reuben, the BLT. But Sunday Ticket, they've got that. So you can watch your favorite team at 357 Reloaded in the Peachtree Shopping Center, or 357 Bar and Grill at 235 Main Street in Palisades. So what are you waiting for? I mean, they got every beer that you possibly want on tap. Your favorite adult beverage is there. It's also a great place for the family, too. So stop by and see them today and check out your favorite NFL action with Sunday Ticket. Also, all the college action as well at 357 Reload in the Peachtree Shopping Center. Also, 357 Bar and Grill at 235 Main Street in Palisade. It'll become your new favorite place for you and your friends and fellow fans to watch your favorite team. You're ready for it.
I am. I found it.
Okay, here we go.
Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Where the hell is he?
Well, I can't find him.
You cannot hide forever.
I will find you.
Okay, so you have to tell us where Tyler Franzen is. And this, he is actually on vacation.
Yes.
You're describing a stadium or field near where he actually is right now.
Yes. So I'm going to give you the clues. There's two of them. And I need you to tell me the closest major sports facility. Let's put it that way. So I got a double-double on State College Boulevard. Then I took a right on Catella and ended up at Sleeping Beauty's walkthrough instead of this facility. Because that's right up... Well, the old afternoon snooze is alley. Sleeping Beauty's walk.
So you were looking for the stadium.
The stadium closest to where I just told you. The two clues I just gave you.
Give it one more time.
Got a double-double on State College Boulevard, then took a right on Catella instead of a left, and ended up at Sleeping Beauty's walkthrough instead of this facility.
Okay, so first correct answer on the text line today, 970-242-1340. You can win Qdoba or Fat Tire from New Belgium Brewery and High Country Beverage. So you have your choice today of either one. And then somebody in the pile will win the other prize today on the text line.
No, Guru's probably. I've been to that corner.
Probably been there. Probably has been there. You would think that this would be one that he
should know.
Should know and should probably knock it out of the park. We'll find out. All right, 8:25. We'll take a break and we'll come back. Coming up next, we will have our picks for division winners, wild card, conference champions, who gets the first pick in the draft. We'll have all that coming up with our NFL predictions. We'd love to hear yours today. Call or text it in to us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Also, your prediction for the Broncos record this season as they get the season started this Sunday here on the team against the Giants pregame at noon, 2:25 kickoff. We'll take a break and come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team.
A 30, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Next hour, Ryan Harris, member of the Broncos Super Bowl 50 championship team, started a tackle for the Broncos against Carolina Panthers. Works for Altitude Radio and the Notre Dame Football Network. He'll be joining us at 9 this morning. Looking forward to that. Always enjoy speaking with Ryan Harris. All right, do we have a winner yet for Where in the World is Tyler Franzen?
Yes, we do.
Okay, we do.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
A lot of correct guesses. We had some incorrect guesses, like Beaver Stadium in Happy Valley.
No.
Rose Bowl was close. But Kim first in the door with Angels Stadium.
Aha.
Yes, right across the way from Disneyland or Disney World, whichever one's in Southern California. That's where Sleeping Beauty's walkthrough is. Is that Southern California's Disney Adventure? That's where Tyler is right now. Not going to the baseball stadium, of course.
No, he went there. His mom had a trip planned last year, and of course, that got canceled.
Yeah. Tyler Franzen drinking game, even though he's not here.
And so his parent mom, reference, who we had his mom on before, really nice lady, at one of the PGA events in South Carolina. I can't remember which one it was. But anyway, she called us from there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, if your mom's there, have her give us a call. Said she saw the alligator there and everything, walking across the road, and she was on one of the buses. But I guess she had this trip planned and needed somebody to go, and Tyler is there Disneyland with his mom. He was very excited, by the way, and he seemed a little uncertain whether he should be so excited about it around me, right? Because he is a guy in his mid-20s,
right? And going you to have Disneyland no chill with his mom about people being excited about stuff.
Well, excuse me, what?
You have no chill when people are excited. You tend to tamp down their excitement.
When have I done that? When have I done that?
I don't know. Maybe not for Tyler, but for me, it kind of.
Well, you, it's different because you're an absolute turd about stuff,
I think they call you a rainstorm on a parade. Is what that is.
Well, for you, yes, absolutely, because you're so snarky about stuff. Sometimes you are. You have that coming.
If it makes you feel, he didn't even bother to tell me where he was going or that he was leaving.
Tyler's a young innocent. He is. He has not attained your crusty, crabby level, your bitter ball of hateness that you possess. So that's why I come back at you sometimes.
That's a unique feature for me.
Oh, really? I didn't crap on you going to the concert this last one you went to.
That's true. I'll give you
the Hate Breed and
Megadeth. And Lamb of God.
Yeah, I didn't go, I'm like, that's cool. I'm glad you got to go. I was very positive. Do not cast me in that light. I might have on other occasions, but that time, no. But I did ask him, will you get the mouse ears with your name on it? And he goes,
should.
He goes, I don't know. I go, yes, you should. If I was going, I would.
And he will. You know that. He just may not tell us.
I would get them and I'd wear them to work. I'd have that much confidence that I would wear those to work. And if somebody wanted to make fun of me, fine. Mm-hmm. I don't care. But I've never been to Disney World or Disneyland.
Neither have I.
No. I guess maybe someday. Eh. Probably not. I think that ship has sailed. I can't imagine as a man, you know, a man of my age wanting to go to Disneyland. I know Kendall probably wouldn't be that keen about going. So
now that they have Marvel and Star Wars under the Disney umbrella,
that'd be kind of cool to go.
I'd be more apt to go to those sorts of things.
Right.
But like, I don't need to stand in the middle of a paved baking lot to see some dudes play fighting as Captain America in the Winter Soldier.
I'm fine with that,
I don't need to see that.
I'm with you on that.
Give me roller coasters. I don't need to go somewhere and like walk through, you know, the Back to the Future town and lightning strikes and somebody dressed up as a bad Doc Brown comes out and recites lines from the... I don't need to see that.
Money! I don't need it either.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm probably
good.
Give me
a roller coaster experience and I'm all right.
You know, that ship sailed, should have taken the kids when they were younger. We didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm okay with that. Okay. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I'm a Cedar Point, Six Flags type of person.
Like a real
amusement
park where it's just the rides and it's about getting the crap scared out of you and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, LOL, State College got me. Disregard. He did mention the Angel Stadium. It's okay, Andrew. It's okay, man. I got confused yesterday on the Fergie Jenkins hashtag from... Oh, that's right. He meant
Fergie needs a friend.
Yeah, that Larry meant that he was a friend. That
he was supposed to be Fergie's friend.
Wanted to be Fergie's friend in the Hall of Fame. It took me like, okay, that's right. He meant it for himself joining Ferguson Jenkins. Yeah. It happens, man. It happens. All right, 8:35. It's time for our NFL predictions.
All right.
Okay, so you're ready for this. We're going to start in the NFC. Do you mind if I kind of...
Yeah, okay, you got music.
I got music, so I'll hopefully point us in the same direction.
All right.
We'll start out with the NFC. We'll go with the NFC East. Perhaps the most competitive division because it's really anybody up for grabs. Because anybody can win this division. Let's be honest about it. Because it's not a very good division. That makes it competitive because everybody has a chance to win it.
Yeah.
I have, not just because of what I saw last night, but I think they've made a lot of the right moves. And Dak plays the way he did last night. I got the Cowboys winning the NFC East, followed by the Washington football team, Philadelphia, and the Giants in that order.
I have the fighting WFTs winning. I think a competent quarterback.
I could see that happening too.
Pretty stout defense. I think Dallas comes in second. Then it's a slap fight between Philadelphia and the Giants. I think it's Philly and the Giants, 3-4.
Okay, we go to the North. I have Green Bay and Rodgers winning that division along with Minnesota second, Chicago, and Detroit. Do I think Detroit will be better?
Mm-hmm.
They're the Lions. I can't believe them moving up in that division at this point in time. And I just think Green Bay, it's most likely the swan song for Aaron Rodgers. I think they got the talent offensively. They're going to win that division.
I think Green Bay wins that division. I think the Bears come in second. I don't quite know if they're a playoff team. They were last year, remember. Then Minnesota and then Detroit, although I could see those last two flip-flopped. I don't have a lot of promise for Minnesota this year.
I just think they're still good enough on both sides of the ball that they're not going to finish last in that division or anything like that. I think in Chicago, there's some uncertainty there. I just think there is. We go to the South, where your defending Super Bowl champions reside.
Mm-hmm. Didn't win the division last year, though.
Did not, but I think they do this year.
I agree.
I have Atlanta second. I think Atlanta's with Matt Ryan there. I think that they're going to... I think they got enough talent, even though they lost Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That team is, I think, good enough to get into second in that division. Because I can't believe in Jameis Winston. He could be brilliant this year. And their defense is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the Falcons are going to make enough of a jump this year that they end up second in that division, the Saints, and then Carolina last.
They blew a lot of leads, the Falcons did last
year. Yes, they
did. I don't know necessarily if their defense got any better. I don't feel like it did. I have Tampa Bay winning. I have New Orleans second, and I think they're a wild card. Then I have Atlanta, and Carolina's pulling up the caboose in that division.
You know, can Arthur Smith be the difference maker there when it comes to, you know, that football team?
Maybe.
A great run, obviously, as, you know, the OC with the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. They bring in Dean Pease. Dean Pease has a reputation of being a pretty darn good defensive coordinator.
But he's always had a lot of guys.
He's always had a lot of talent, a lot of that when he was with Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. So, and take that for what you will,
I could see Atlanta and New Orleans being somewhat interchangeable there. Mm-hmm. I'm just not ready to buy into Jameis Winston just yet. We move to the West. I've got the Rams followed by San Francisco, Seattle, and Arizona.
That's same order, yeah.
Okay. So my wild cards are the fighting WFTs, San Francisco, and Atlanta. And for my championship, I have Green Bay beating the LA Rams in the NFC title game.
So you have San Francisco and Atlanta.
And there's three wild cards.
Yep, and Washington.
And Washington are my wild cards.
And you have Green Bay over the Rams?
Correct.
So
okay, is that a...
Oh, I'm writing these down what I'm doing.
Well, I'm also... They're saved on the rundown, too.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
If you don't want to write them down, they're already there.
Oh, well, I
that's okay.
Didn't look at that part.
That's okay.
So my wild cards, I mentioned New Orleans. San Francisco, Seattle are my wild cards. I have the Rams beating Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship game.
So I have the Bucs not getting back.
You think Father Ty last night?
No, I think
you saw Father Ty catch up with Tommy.
No, I don't think it's that. I just think that they're not this invincible football team that everybody thinks they are. I think they win their division. I think they win 11-12 games, and I think they stumble in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. If they get home field advantage, they may be all right.
They could be all right. And they could very well very well change everything.
But the NFC is super deep.
Yes, it is. So let's move to the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
AFC East. I have Buffalo. I have New England. I have Miami and the Jets.
Hey, I got that same order.
Move to the North. You're not going to like this. I have Cleveland, followed by Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh. Steeler fans, you're going to hate me.
I like that.
You're
going to
hate. Okay, I thought you might not like it because I might, you know, jinx it.
Yeah, no, I don't like that part. I like the Steelers finishing last. Though.
I just have a feeling that it's... Steelers are in for some rough stretch, even though they won their first 11 games last year. I just get a vibe about them.
I'm hoping for the first ever 0-17.
I don't think it's going to happen, but...
They'll win one. I mean, they got to play Cincinnati at home, so they'll get one. I have Baltimore winning that division. I have Cleveland second and a wild card. I think Pittsburgh is going to get a wild card because I don't think the AFC is really that deep. And I think some of the other divisions are just going to be dominated. And so the parity in the AFC North is going to allow them to get into the playoffs and then Cincinnati bringing up the rear.
Okay. The South.
Mm-hmm.
Got Tennessee,
yep.
Indy, Houston, Jacksonville.
Really? I have Tennessee. I have Indy. I always kind of forget about Indianapolis, but I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Then I have Jacksonville, then Houston.
I think Houston's going to be bad, but I think Jacksonville's going to be really bad. I think it's struggling with a young quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. I think Herb is in over his head.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the David Culley and all the crap that's going on with the Texans, they're going to have a bad year. Don't get me wrong.
I just think Jacksonville's a little less bad.
I just think Jacksonville's going to have a worse year than the Texans.
I can see that. It's not ridiculous,
I
think, yeah.
It's like 4 wins as opposed to 3 wins.
Right.
Let's not get carried away here. Once again, those two probably pretty interchangeable. We move to the West.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Kansas City winning the West.
Yep.
We've got the Broncos as your second place team in the West, followed by the Chargers and the Raiders. And I have my two wild cards are coming out of the West.
Really?
I have the Chargers and the Broncos both getting wild cards.
And who's the third one?
Baltimore. With Kansas City over Buffalo, KC beats Green Bay in the Super Bowl.
I have Kansas City in my Super Bowl, and I think they beat Cleveland in the AFC Championship game, and then I have them beating the Rams in the Super Bowl. We both have the Chiefs winning?
We do.
Look at that.
Yeah. That'll probably make Butchie very, very happy.
Yeah, probably.
Though I wrote something on Facebook to Butchie last night that probably didn't make him very happy.
Well, he probably didn't see it.
Oh, no, he did because he responded to
it. Oh, he's got the mobile data back. Okay.
I think so.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I think he donated some blood the other day, and he got a check for that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't donate a couple of human organs.
A little plasma.
Donated some plasma, some human organs.
Did the plasma.
Black market.
Yep.
You know, in a strip mall someplace.
Yeah.
Masquerading as a nail salon, and they're actually...
down to one working kidney.
They're actually in the back. Harvesting organs.
Yep. So who is your NFL MVP?
Excellent question.
Mm-hmm. I have Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is going to be the MVP this year.
I'm going to go Justin Herbert.
Ooh. Interesting.
And then team with they'll be picking first.
Yep. Number one overall pick.
I think Jags get it again. Jags or Texans, one of the two.
Yeah, I think
those are your two worst teams in the league. Detroit's bad, but I think they'll be a little bit better. The Jets are not going to be great. They'll be, you know, slightly better than what they won one game last year. Let me think about that.
I have Houston.
Yeah, I might go with the Jets on that. I think the Jets will be better. I think the Jets will win at least five games. I'll have to go with the Jags because I picked them last in the division. I'm going to go with the Jags.
I'm going with Houston because of that same.
Yeah. I could see either one. Those are your contenders right there.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about it. Those are your contenders. All right. So you've got some thoughts about our picks. I think the Broncos end up winning, I'm going to say 11 games this season. I'm going with 11 wins for the Broncos.
I'm going 8-9.
Okay. I'll be honest, I could see that too. I'm not trying to be a fence sitter. I could see that too.
I just think that's a tough division they're in.
They're only going to go as far as their defense takes them. And Teddy Bridgewater is a compliment, and the offense is a compliment to the Bronco defense.
Yeah, I don't see them being any better than 3-3 in the division. And then, I mean, some of their other games are not that easy. And I don't know how Bridgewater's going to do. If Locke comes in, I don't know how he's going to do. I don't know how much better they'll be better.
I'm going probably super optimistic. More optimistic than I feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
But I've just said, you know what? I'm going to believe in this defense.
Yeah.
I'm going to believe that this defense can hopefully be, you know, the second coming of Blue Steel. That's kind of where my mind is with the Broncos right now, with this defense, that they can be that good. The secondary has potential being really, really good.
Yeah, they do.
And even with Chubb out this weekend, most likely. I mean, Malik Reed led them in sacks last year. So it's not like they're... The drop-off is, if Chubb's out for a while, off the face of the earth at that other outside linebacker spot. All right, 8:47. We'll take a break. We'll come back and bring you four-down territory. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
If you take a step towards me, you will take my...
Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Next hour, Ryan Harris from Altitude Sports, former Bronco, will join us, get his thoughts about what he's seen from the Broncos training camp preseason and leading up to Sunday's opener against the Giants. That'll be coming up next hour. All right, 8:51, And it's time for...
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, a couple of things from last night's Thursday night opener between Tampa Bay and Dallas. We'll start things out with Drew Brees' hair. Did you watch the NBC pregame show last night?
I did not.
Drew Brees, now a member of NBC Sports. His hair, he's got...
More of it?
Quite a bit more hair than he did previously from what most people can recall.
He went through the Brian Urlacher retirement?
Yes, he did. At least that appears to be the case. Hey, good for Drew.
The Wayne Rooney retirement?
Yeah, quite a bit more hair on the head of one Drew Brees. All right, also from last night's game, official Terry Killens had a really bad moment last night. Happened during the second quarter. Buck center Ryan Jensen was called for taunting. I think Ryan Jensen, former CSU Pueblo player, if memory serves me correctly. Anyway, he was called for taunting, while Carlos Watkins was called for unnecessary roughness. The penalties offset, which gave the Bucks first and 10 at the Dallas 24. They ended up scoring a touchdown on the possession. When Killens went to speak with ref Ed Hockley, the crew chief, Killens left his mic on. Here's what everybody got to hear last night.
Also got a taunting on 66.
It was
let's just say
cut that mic.
Let's just say it's... What? Let's just say... Terry Killens.
Yeah, can't do that.
You can't make it up as you go here.
I mean, he is an NFL official, so they kind of do that, but...
But
you're not allowed.
At least make sure that your mic is not on.
Yeah.
While you're saying, hey, let's just say. Killens, by the way, former NFL linebacker. It's been a ump in the NFL since 2019, by the way.
As we move to third down, speaking of the NFL, Jamar Chase says the NFL ball is harder to see without the stripes on it, like the college ball. That's why he's dropping it. Are you buying or selling?
Seems a bit like excuse making.
I think if that were the case, we'd probably have heard about it by now.
I think you would have a lot of guys coming out of college and say, hey, look, it is. You ever heard Jerry Jeudy say that last year? He had a lot of drops. You ever heard him say, oh boy, that ball doesn't have the stripes like the college one does. Makes it tough to see.
Yeah.
I have not heard anybody say that until Jamar Chase.
So I'm selling on that.
It's a clever excuse for some drops.
Right. Hey, it's unique at least, right?
It's original.
At least it's not the, I think I'm going to be able to see defenses better because I got LASIK like Jameis Winston, But it's something, I guess.
Which I'll give him more credit for that. That actually maybe having a legitimate positive impact on on seeing better. But still, yeah, I'm with you. This is pretty, it's pretty lame from on the part of Jamar Chase.
You've seen the two Spider-Man meme, right? Where they're standing there pointing at each other, all dressed up.
Right.
Look at this. Well, Keyshawn Johnson did his best version of that by calling Tony Romo the most diva-ish quarterback he ever played with. That's rich coming from Keyshawn.
Come on, Keyshawn. Really?
Keyshawn, read the room, buddy. You're the diva.
What about you?
He wasn't even the biggest diva on the team, was he, Keyshawn?
That would have been you. I had not heard that comment from him. Wow. Okay.
That was recently, like this week, I think. But still, hilarious.
Yeah, considering the source. All right, Ryan Harris from Altitude Sports, former Bronco, will join us coming up next hour. Text in your prediction for the Broncos, how many games they win this season, your NFL predictions as well. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340.